May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. From today's epistle, "For all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." The church in Corinth was a deeply divided church. The divisions caused Paul a lot of personal pain. He knew Christians ought to be reconciled to God and to each other, and not be at odds. Here's what the problem was. Corinth had attracted a succession of evangelists. St. Paul had been there, St. Peter had been there, and so had another evangelist that we know less about, Apollos. Apollos was an Egyptian from Alexandria who arrived in Corinth after Paul. Paul says elsewhere in Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered." There's no reason to believe there was any competition between these evangelists, and none of them had anything but the very best motives. Unfortunately, however, loyalties developed between the legacies of the individual evangelists rather than to Christ himself. And the church divided into parties that derived their identity from these different evangelists. So people were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas." And Paul's response is to say, "That's crazy. It doesn't matter who you received the faith from. That's not your true identity. The evangelist pales in significance to what you have inherited from Christ. What you have received from Christ conquers human leaders, conquers the world, life, death, the present, the future. For," he says, "all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." And if St. Paul were baptizing Langston today, it would really take, I'm sure, you know. But if St. Paul were baptizing Langston today, that's exactly what St. Paul would be saying to him. He'd pour water on him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and he'd sign him with the sign of the cross, and then he would say, "There. Now all things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." There's an ad that I see on television repeatedly. You've probably seen it. It is for Ancestry.com's DNA testing. If you're interested, and I don't want to sound like Kellyanne Conway, if you're interested, you can have it for $99, and it only requires a cheek swab, not a needle. A woman who I imagine is in her mid-50s is speaking. She is well-groomed, and she has gray hair. And her story is that she always thought she was Hispanic until she took the DNA test. And now she finds that her ancestors are from all sorts of unexpected places. The ad is designed to push the button of our curiosity. You look at it and you say to yourself, oh, I'd like to find out where I'm from. I'd like to find out who my identity is. I was watching the ad this week and it struck me that that is the quest of all humanity. Who am I? How in the world did I get here? In this particular moment of time, in this particular place, with these particular wrinkles that have gathered at the corners of my eyes, with this particular set of opinions, and these particular flaws that I try so hard to keep hidden. And then there is perhaps the even more profound question, is this who I really am? Have I been living with an illusion all along about who I really am? You may not think that you ask yourself such a profound question, but you know you do. Why do you think it is so important for us to take our children to the neighborhoods where we grew up, or to the churches that we used to go to, or where we went to school? It's because it's where we came from, and we want our children to know that is us. Why do you pick up that wedding photograph and you look at your self and your spouse and you ponder, are we the same people we were back then? It's because we want to know what life has made us. Why is it that when we gather over the holidays, we find ourselves retelling the stories of our family life, even when we're amazed at how stupid we all used to be? It's because the old stories answer the question, who am I? The quest for our identity is one that we engage in all the time. And remember, it's not just a quest that is focused on the past. If we're psychologically healthy, it will also focus on the future. What might I become? That's just as important for us to consider as what have I been? Baptism, we all know, is a sacrament. It is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. The inward and spiritual grace that is baptism is that it provides the Christian with the most important answer to the question, who am I? Yes, we are. All the things that ancestry, genes, and life experience have made us. You may equate those things to the Corinthian saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. But most importantly, we are Christ's. In baptism, God is declaring who we truly are. He tells us through our baptism, as today he is telling Langston and his family, we are beloved offspring of God, purposed by him, forgiven by him, sustained by him, protected by him, and destined to be with him eternally. That's our true identity. And because we are, by baptism, Christ's, all things are ours. Langston's. Amen. The congregation may remain seated.